again, everyone. If you've got a Bible, if you want to turn first, please, to Mark chapter 10. We'll be looking at that a wee bit later. I'm going to pray for God's blessing on his word. Father, in the name of Jesus, this morning again, we ask you, please, to open our eyes to behold wonderful things from out of your word. And we pray, Lord God, that the truth of your word would be continually setting us free and setting those free who purpose to walk in it, Lord God. We ask, Father, that you would enable us to be faithful to your word in this fellowship, that we would love it, cherish it, meditate upon it, and guard it, Lord God, because you've entrusted it to us, Lord God, and we want to rightly divide the word of truth. We want to proclaim it in its entirety, no matter who's offended by it. And we want, Lord God, to use it as the firm foundation for this fellowship. So help us now this morning, Lord, please, to hear what you're saying to us, please, in Jesus' name. Amen. And I hope Billy and Linda Neal are sitting somewhere in the sun enjoying us while we're sitting here, Baltic. I said I would give them a mention this morning. They're watching in. They're actually sitting under sun lamps out in Billy's shed in the back garden. Anyway, according to the Westminster Shorter Catechism, Jesus Christ executes the office of a king in subduing us to himself, in ruling and defending us, and in restraining and conquering all his and our enemies. Now, do you hear that? All his and our enemies. The enemies of the Lord are our enemies, and our enemies are the enemies of the Lord. So we'll hear it again. Christ executes the office of a king in subduing us to himself, in ruling and defending us, and in restraining and conquering all his and our enemies. And we looked at the first of these topics last week, and we learned that although Christians are in the world, we are not of the world. We are citizens of another kingdom, serving another king under another government. And as followers of Jesus, as citizens of the kingdom, we are meant to reflect who and what we are. However, Satan and sin have shattered into pieces our lives, which were made in the image and in the likeness of God. But Jesus, by subduing us to himself, gathers up those pieces like a jigsaw, and he puts them in order, thus enabling us to reflect the image that we're meant to be. And, you know, you may not feel like this morning you're reflecting anything of the image of God, but you have been made in the image and likeness of God. Sin came in and ruined that image. Jesus is picking up all of those pieces, putting them back together again. And whether you believe it or not, Christian, every day that he's at work in you, he is putting piece to piece together, and you're reflecting more of the image and the likeness of God, whether you feel like it or not. And here's the wonderful thing. The wonderful thing that we learned is this, that Jesus will continue to do this work even when sin is at work in us, making us resist his will and rebel against his ways. Jesus will, by his grace and love, subdue us to himself. He will bring the disorder to order and put the pieces of our lives together to reflect the image that we are created to be. Even if it means like we are being pulled or dragged through a hedge backwards. Well, this week we're looking at the second of these topics of Jesus and his kingly role and that office. And the second part is in ruling and defending us. So Christ executes the office of a king in subduing us to himself and in ruling and defending us. Well, in a monarchy, and I'm sure most people know that if you live in the United Kingdom of Great Britain and Northern Ireland, we're a monarchy. In a monarchy, a king or a queen is the head of state. And the British monarchy is a constitutional monarchy. So that just means there's a slight change there. We are a constitutional monarchy, which means that Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth II, she is the head of state. But she has absolutely no ability to make or to pass any legislation. That's what the constitutional monarchy means. That Her Majesty the Queen, although she is the head of the state, she has no ability to make or pass legislation. This is done by an elected parliament. And so last Thursday, for example, people went to the polls to elect a new government to rule over us. Now, whether we got what we wanted, and I didn't. I voted for Alec Eason, and he didn't get in. Unfortunately, we got Stephen Farry. God help us. But last Thursday, we went to the polls to elect this new government to rule over us, and whether we got what we wanted or what we hoped for or not, it's a true saying. No matter who you vote for, the government always gets in. Yeah? No matter who you vote for, the government always gets in. And when it comes to Jesus and his role as king, there are different ideas of how this looks. But Jesus is always king. He is the one who governs over all things. But Jesus showed us what it is to be king, to be ruler over his kingdom. Because Jesus isn't like the kings of this world or the queens of this world. Jesus shows us what it is to be a king and to be a ruler of his kingdom. So in Mark chapter 10, verse 35, we're going to read through to 45. Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to Jesus saying, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask," as if Jesus is going to bow down to them. It's the other way around. We do what Jesus asks of us. But anyway, "we want you to do for us whatever we ask." And he said to them, "Well, what do you want me to do for you?" And they said to him, "Grant us that we may sit one on your right hand and the other on your left in your glory." But Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you ask. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" They said to him, "We are able." So Jesus said to them, "You will indeed drink the cup that I drink, and with the baptism I am baptized with, you will be baptized. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it is for those for whom it is prepared." And when the ten other disciples heard it, they began to be greatly distressed. They were really not happy about all of this and were very displeased with James and John. Verse 42. But Jesus called them to himself and said to them, "You know that those who are considered rulers over the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you. But whoever desires to become great among you shall be your servant, and whoever of you desires to be first shall be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many." Jesus Christ executes the office of a king by being a servant, one who serves his people. Jesus, the King of glory, because remember what we said, it is the eternal role of Jesus as prophet, priest, and king. He has always been a king. Jesus, the King of glory, left all of the heavenly realms and came to this world, in his words, not to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. He sought to teach this important lesson to his disciples when at supper, do you remember, he took off his outer garment and put a towel around him, and he got down and he washed the disciples' feet. Now, I doubt very much that we're going to get too many MLAs or members of parliament coming into Shiloh wanting to wash our feet. But Jesus was expressing a truth here. And let me put this to you. Before she became queen, Princess Elizabeth made the following promise: "I declare before you all that my whole life, whether it be long or short, shall be devoted to your service and the service of our great imperial family to which we all belong." I think she was about 21 years of age when Princess Elizabeth made this statement. And I think it's a beautiful statement. Listen to it again. "I declare before you all that my whole life, whether it be long or short, shall be devoted to your service and the service of our great imperial family, to which we all belong. Beautiful, beautiful words. It would seem, and I believe that Her Majesty the Queen is a born-again Christian. I used to be not a fan of Her Majesty the Queen. I'm the only Christian I probably know with an anarchy tattoo who's against the Queen, but that was in those days. I appreciate the Queen, and I give thanks to God for her and for the many, many years that she has ruled our country, because it seems that Her Majesty had a really good awareness of what being Queen required. Servanthood. The kingdom of Jesus, our King, is one of truth, righteousness, and humility. And he, our King, humbled himself to come to this world to serve his people and die for us, even by death on a cross. And Jesus taught his disciples that those who desired to be great, and how greater could you be than a king? But he says those who desired to be great in any way at all, those who desired to be great were not to be like worldly rulers who lord it over their subjects. You know, I have to go at Christmas time and all year round, Julie, you know, having to buy tracksuits and trainers for the boys. And it all has to be Nike or Nike or whatever way you say it. Well, here's the interesting thing. Nike shoes comes from the word Nico and Nicolation. So you know in the book of Revelation where Jesus talks to the letter of the Laodiceans, and he says in one of the letters about, you hate the teachings of the Nicolaitans. Well, the Nicolaitans means exactly this. It means those who lord it over the people. Jesus hates people who think they have the authority to lord it over other people. And what Jesus was teaching in this subject is this. Don't be like, if you desire to be great, and he's not saying it's wrong to desire to be great, aspire to great things. Her Majesty the Queen said that in her speech a couple of years ago. Aspire to great things. And Jesus taught his disciples that those who desired to be great were not to be like worldly rulers who lord it over their subjects. But rather, he said, whoever desires to become great among you shall be your servant. And whoever of you desires to be first shall be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. You see, although Jesus is the eternal King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, he executes his sovereign rule over his people with sincere humility and genuine servanthood. Think again. How many of our MLAs are going to fit into that bracket? How many of our MPs are going to fit into that bracket? Jesus, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, who gives us the example, executes his sovereign rule over all the nations and over his own people with sincere humility and genuine servanthood. And this is what Jesus wants from his people. He wants his people to serve with sincere humility. There's a very modern thing these days in the church called false humility. And it's sickening to see it. Sincere humility is what Jesus is looking for. Service that is sincere humility and genuine servanthood. And the genuine here is the spikenard servanthood. You know your woman that came and poured the spikenard over Jesus? And it talks about spikenard, spikenard, spikenard. Well, spikenard can't be translated properly into English unless you use three words. And it is pure, unadulterated, and genuine. That's the three words that bring spikenard into English. Pure, unadulterated, and genuine. And that is what Jesus is looking from his people. Sincere humility and spikenard servanthood. So how does Jesus, who is presently seated at the Father's right hand in heaven, execute his office of a king here on earth? How does he? I mean, he's way up there, like, you know, he's miles away. How does he how does he presently serve on the earth? How does Jesus, who is presently seated at the Father's right hand in heaven, how does he execute his office of a king here on earth? How does he rule and defend his people? Well, before we get into it, the word rule here means guiding and governing. And the word defending means preserving us from being injured or hurt. Okay? So we've got guiding and governing and preserving us from being injured and hurt. Well, hopefully you'll not be hurt by our next reading. Ephesians chapter 4. It's just after Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, Paul writes, "And he," speaking of Jesus, "and he himself gave some to be apostles." And Billy Neal should have been here this morning because he'd been asking questions all about apostles. "And he," Jesus, "gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." Firstly, the question, how does Jesus rule and defend his people? Firstly, Jesus is king. And please understand this. Doesn't matter about the rulers of this world. They don't mean anything. When it comes to God's will be done. No matter what the kings of the earth think or say. Okay? So the first thing is that Jesus rules and defends his people because Jesus is king. And he can divinely, according to his will, intervene into worldly affairs as he sees fit. And no one can stop him. No one can prevent him because he is the sovereign King of Kings. Secondly, Jesus executes his kingly office by calling out of the world a people belonging to himself. And he gives them his Holy Spirit to reign in their hearts so that they learn to humbly submit to his rule and to sincerely walk in his ways and to genuinely serve. We follow his example. Thirdly, from these people that he calls out of the world who are called to serve, and let me make this clear, of every person that Jesus calls, there is none exempt from servanthood. Do you understand? I hear Christians gurning all the time at me about, "Oh, I don't know what God's will is for my life." How about breathe? That's God's will. Breathe, live, and live your life for Jesus. And when he wants you to do something specific, well, guess what? God's not thick. It's us who's thick. God will make it clear. So we just have to live as he intends us to live, and he will direct our paths, and he will lead us to where he wants us to be. So from the people that God calls out of the world to be his own people, from these people who are called, we are all called to serve in his kingdom with sincere humility and genuine servanthood. And he is the one, for example, he says he appoints apostles, he appoints prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And through these offices, he governs his body, the church. Do you understand? Through these offices, he governs his body, the church. And that's really all that matters on the earth for Jesus, is his body. Because he governs as the King of Kings through his body, the church. It is the responsibility, and they listen to this, it is the responsibility of those appointed to these offices to teach his truth to the church and to proclaim it to the world, that those who are appointed to eternal life will hear and believe. But fourthly, Jesus has given clear instructions through his law and his word how his people are to live in this world while demonstrating that our citizenship of the kingdom by our service to the King. Do you understand? I said last week, we are the ones who have to make the invisible church and the invisible kingdom of God visible to the world. We are the people who have got to demonstrate that. And so in this it's saying Jesus has given clear instructions through the law, through the word, how his people are to live in this world while demonstrating our citizenship of his kingdom by our service to the King. It is, listen to it, it is the individual Christian. It is the individual Christian's responsibility to pursue the truths of God. It's not the leader of the church's responsibility to get you to pursue the truths of God. My responsibility in this church is to teach you the truths of God and to proclaim the truths of God to the world, that those who are appointed unto eternal life will hear the truth, and that truth will set them free and they will believe and be saved. But your responsibility, Christian, is for you to pursue the truths of God as revealed by the Holy Spirit, that you might serve the Lord and others with sincere humility and genuine servanthood. Do you understand? You are still called with the same holy calling that I am called, with the same holy calling that any other Christian on this planet is called. You have that same holy calling. And Jesus is saying, I want you to serve with sincere humility and genuine servanthood in whatever you are called to do, on your day-to-day living, in your work, in your home, in everywhere that God leads you. That's what he wants you to be doing. And when he wants something specific, something big, something small, he will make it clear. Because as you look to the Lord, he will direct your paths. It's not my responsibility to pursue you to chase up the word of God. That's your responsibility. Fifthly, although Jesus the King defends us against all our enemies. And let me tell you something. You have no idea on a daily basis how much the Lord divinely intervenes to defend us from our enemies, because we have enemies in another realm that the world knows nothing about. We are not fighting with flesh and blood. Our battle is against principalities and powers and all of the host of evil in spiritual realms. And on a day-to-day basis, we are being protected, we are being defended, we are being guarded by the Lord and by his grace from these enemies. And although Jesus the King defends us against all of our enemies, particularly Satan, sin, the world, and death, our worst enemy is indwelling sin that continues to corrupt his people. However, Jesus has given us powerful weapons of warfare, among others, the Word of God, prayer, praise, fellowship, and the love and support of one another to resist and oppose all enemies. See these Christians who say, you can be a Christian and not go to church. They're talking out their backside. You have to be in fellowship with other believers, because it is one of the most powerful weapons that God gives you to enable you to overcome the enemies that are coming against you. And if you neglect to use the weapons that God has given you, you're leaving yourself wide open. And when it happens, because God will at times let the enemy get a target in and shoot an arrow at you, whatever else, and you'll be, oh, Jesus, oh, I'm all hurt, Jesus. And I say, we'll see you next time. Get to your church. I had somebody send me a text this morning, and they were saying to me, oh, about this, about Jesus, about that, about Jesus. I said, not remotely interested. I said, what I'm interested in is, you told me earlier on in the week that Jesus says you're supposed to be at church. I says, I'll see you there Sunday morning. Oh, no response in that way. And then it was one came back later on feeling weak. I said, well, I might get there tonight. But see, if they don't, and they come to me moaning about problems, I'm going to say, not interested, go away. Get somebody else to sort it out. Not interested. These weapons that the Lord has given us, these weapons enable his people to overcome sin and temptation, even to rejoice in sufferings. How do you do that? Like, how do you rejoice in your sufferings? Yet Jesus has given us the weapons to use that allow us, even in the midst of trials, to rejoice in sufferings, helping us by ensuring his grace And it was said, His grace is sufficient to meet every need as the people of the Lord, as we serve the eternal King of glory. Here, see what Jesus has done as our King. He serves us and He sets us the example. He serves us by being a servant. It's sincere, it's humble, and it's loving. And He wants us to be the same. But He says, you can't do this without me. He knows that. So He gives us His Holy Spirit. And not only does He give us His Holy Spirit, who is working within us and changing all of the things and putting all the pieces together to make us reflect more and more of the image and likeness of God. He says, by the way, here's a few weapons that you might need against the enemies. Now, I'll ultimately defend you, but here's a few wee things you can use yourself. So He gives us the Word of God. He gives us prayer. He gives us praise. He gives us fellowship. He gives us the love and the support of one another, brothers and sisters in Christ, to resist and oppose our enemies. And He says, and guess what? You will even be able to rejoice in your sufferings. It's incredible. Is it any wonder Isaiah says, for the Lord is our judge, our lawgiver, the Lord is our King, and He will save us. He will save us. Well, lastly, how does Jesus rule and defend His people? Jesus, this just blows me away. Having done all of this, having given us all of these wonderful things, Jesus rewards. He rewards His faithful servants. And in rewarding us in whatever, whether it's going to be treasures in heaven, and I always say, Lord, see all them treasures in heaven that I've stored up. Any chance of a wee sub? But, you see, He rewards His faithful servants. See when you're obedient to the Lord. See when you're walking in the will and in the ways of God. Not only are you bringing glory to the Lord, but the Lord says, guess what? I'm going to reward you for doing this. He rewards His faithful servants, and He inspires us through these truths to continue to stand firm in our service against all of the adversity, raising up His standard high that others might be drawn to Him. This is how Jesus, our King, this is how Jesus, who loves us, executes the office of a king in subduing us to Himself, in ruling and defending us. Listen to what He says again. Whoever, that includes everybody here this morning, that includes those who are watching on Facebook, that includes the people who are listening to the podcast. Jesus says this, whoever desires to become great among you shall be your servant. And whoever of you desires to be first shall be a slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give His life a ransom for many. And let me tell you something. Maybe I shouldn't be saying, I'm just going to say it because I'm not cared who's offended. I felt sorry for Alec Eason. Do you know why I felt sorry for Alec Eason? Because Alec Eason is a servant. And I just wanted to send him a wee message, and I sent him a message and said, Alec, keep doing what you do. Because even if people don't appreciate you and get off their lazy backsides and get out to vote, keep doing what you do. Because it's making a difference for some people's lives. And I hope and pray that Stephen Farrey will be a good MP. You know, I hope and pray. Stephen and I had a few run-ins during my days in Kilcullen working and fighting with council. But you know what? He's in there now. And the Most High rules the kingdom of men, and God has decided Stephen Farrey is going to be the MP. And I hope and pray that he becomes a good, faithful, humble servant of the people who elected him. So let me ask you, Christian, do you want to be used mightily by the Lord? Do you want to serve Him in wonderful, powerful ways? Would you like the Lord to glorify you so that you might glorify Him? Then we need to learn from Him. We need to follow His example and serve Him by serving others with sincere humility and genuine servanthood. You know, perhaps we should all, Christian, perhaps we should all pray something similar to the words of Princess Elizabeth. And I've changed them slightly, and I'm sure the Queen won't mind. I'm still waiting, Your Majesty, for my gong. But perhaps we should pray. That's why I always be very nice and call her her full title and all. I'm waiting on the gong coming. You know, it's the only gong I'd be getting is a thump in the back of the head. But think about this morning, Christian. In light of what she said, perhaps we should pray something similar to the words of Princess Elizabeth, because she has been reigning for many, many years. And it's God who established her on the throne. Maybe we should pray these words. I declare before the Lord and before you all that my whole life, whether it be long or short, shall be devoted to the service of my King and to you, his people. Could you, Christian, could you humbly, sincerely pray that prayer? I hope so. Maybe this morning there's someone here listening and you're not yet a Christian, you're not yet a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, let me tell you that one reason why you haven't become a Christian yet is because you have not learned to humble yourself before the Lord and accept the truth that he tells you, which is you must be born again. Now, what this means is you need to receive new life from the Lord Jesus Christ. Without this new life, you cannot be a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. You cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. However, the Lord has lovingly and graciously extended to you yet another opportunity to confess your sins and repent so that you might be saved. If you keep rejecting his love and his salvation, then you will die an enemy of the cross of Christ and you will perish in hell. Learn from Jesus. Humble yourself and come to him for forgiveness of sin and receive his Holy Spirit, who will help you to be a servant of the King. Let's pray. Father, this morning I'm going to ask that those who are here and anybody who's watching on Facebook or listening to the podcast to pray this prayer in their hearts as I pray it out again. And Lord, we say it with all sincerity, with all meaning, with all love for you, even in our ignorance, even in all of our character defects and sinfulness, knowing that, Lord, we're not of this world, but we're in it. Lord, hear our prayer as we use the words adopted by Her Majesty the Queen. I declare before you, Lord, and before everyone else, that my whole life, whether it be long or short, shall be devoted to the service of my King and to you, his people. For we ask it in your glorious name, Lord Jesus. Amen.